A sperm going through a vagina is like trying to walk through a hookah bar in Atlanta. Like, you really might not. Between the smoke and bad bitches and niggas with guns and, like, maybe a hoverboard that might be loose on the ground, like, something's gonna happen.
Hey, you got a lot of obstacles to get through. The floor is lava, and you gotta get the fuck through this hookah bar and essentially become the greatest leader to ever lead if you can make it to the end. The government growing babies. Microchips in your anus. All koala bears are racist. The ozone layer owes me money. Martians invented turkey stuffing. Y'all can't tell me nothing. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an exceptional, a devastating, a thick booty episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the crevices of black conspiracy theories, and we work to prove that Alicia Keys may not wear makeup on her face, but she absolutely puts makeup on her feet. She got an OnlyFans, and she's posting feet pics with makeup on them. Tell the people. Alicia, we know it's you. Stop pretending like this is some other lady. That's you, Alicia. You put makeup on your feet, and we know it. I'm your host, Langston Kerman. As always, I'm excited to be here. What an exciting time we have, mainly because my guest today is one of the funniest people I know. He's so funny. He's responsible for pretty much every cool trend that's ever existed on the internet. He was so funny at one point that Twitter asked him politely to leave. They were like, this nigga's too funny. He got to get the fuck out of here. But then they let him back in, and he's still being hilarious. You guys know him. You love him. Give it up for my guest, Mr. Zach Fox.
Hello, hello. What's up? Yeah, man.
What up, dog?
I'm chilling, man. I'm over here in Atlanta, man, just like drinking juices in the rain, like bird scootering around. This is exciting.
Just listing things you could have done in LA, but you're like, no, I'm doing it in Atlanta.
I'm doing it in Atlanta. Yeah. So now what?
Are there like special juices in Atlanta that you're like happy to have, you know, gone back and be able to experience again? Is there anything?
Yeah.
There
so there's
special?
There's a juice shop out here called Kale Me Crazy, which is awful. Oh, shit. Terrible name. Yeah. But the girls who work at the one by me are like, you could just tell they're like, they're just so over it, like, mm-hmm. two just like really cool just Atlanta hood chicks, yeah, who like, yeah. They're like, nigga, what you want in your juice? Like, don't like turmeric, what next? Like, okay, spirulina. Like, they make it with such attitude that,
right,
it's a better juice experience. I feel like
I 100% agree. You know, there's something about someone being mean to you when you order something that makes you feel like, well, this is going to be worth it.
Yeah, because it's like, well, I better enjoy this because they don't give a fuck.
Right. So. They don't give a fuck. This felt like a fist fight just ordering a basic item. So this is probably going to be the best experience I have eating.
Yeah, I feel like there is a paralyzing aspect of hospitality. You like, sometimes when things are too nice, you don't really feel grateful for it. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to, yeah. you should have to struggle for nice things sometimes.
Right. It's that hunter gatherer shit in us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're like, we used to have to really murder something to enjoy a meal. Mm-hmm. And now it's just sort of laid in front of us. And it feels like we always deserve this. But those small moments kind of bring us back to that animalistic energy where it's like, damn, I had to get cussed the fuck out so that I can mm-hmm. enjoy some kale drink.
Exactly.
This matters to me.
That's why I'm gonna open a vegan restaurant where, you know, you got to get jumped just to finish your meal.
Wait, they don't. So you're saying they don't jump you to get the meal?
No,
it's just at some point in the meal.
At some point in the meal, you're gonna have to protect yours. And if you're not ready for that, then hey, maybe you shouldn't be trying to be vegan. Maybe you just need to go to McDonald's and like experience right. easy fast food. But this health maybe shit, you're going to have to earn it around here, boy.
You better go back and get your radiated burger, motherfucker. Right.
We earned our
You want
stripes.
This pure?
You want Beyond Meat, niggas? You're going to have to get this Beyond Meat, nigga. You getting stomped out.
You getting hands, dog. I love that. I love that so much. And if there's anything I can do to help fund your restaurant without getting jumped, I'd happily do that.
I do need money. Yes.
Well, I think this episode is not going to help us get any money today. I think that this episode actually has the potential to make us lose quite a bit of money if we're being honest. Because you came to me with a conspiracy theory that terrifies the shit out of me. But you said, and I want to quote you here, you said, my mama told me.
White people were invented by an ancient black scientist.
Yes.
Woo.
Yeah.
Just no, let this, that sink this, in. Tell me more.
This is probably the most dangerous subject matter that we could decide to drift into in 2020, but it's also the funniest and the most the most ripe to be like a manga better than Naruto, I feel like.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Because even when I told Nikki about it, right, I told my wife, like, yo, this is the conspiracy theory that Zach was talking about. She was like, that should be a show. And I was like, nah, it can't be no show. But also, you're right. It should be a show.
It's one of those things that it literally cannot be a show just because it's so, like, both sides, white and black, would be so upset by it because there are people who genuinely believe it and there are people who are genuinely like, this is crazy. This is the most offensive thing I've ever experienced. So,
right.
But if it was an anime, it would just be like, if it was even just a live action movie, it'd probably outsell Lord of the Rings.
I don't disagree with that. I think that this has the potential to be one of the greatest box office hits of all time.
Yep.
If only people could put their pride aside and just accept that maybe a black scientist inventing white people is a fascinating fucking story.
It's fascinating. If we could get rid of the hate behind it and behind the, all those things, all those nasty things that everybody talks about on a daily basis, and if we could just look past that and look at how funny and great the story is and how like chock full of science fiction gold it is, then it would be so good. It'd be good.
It's a perfect story. So tell me, let's start from the beginning. Where did you first hear this theory, this suggestion?
So contrary to the title of your podcast, my mom didn't tell me this. My mom is a very staunch Southern Baptist Christian woman who would never believe in something as crazy as a guy
this wasn't popping up in church when y'all were going as kids.
The pastor, you know, didn't mention Christians this? We got our own, you know. I'm not a Christian, but I grew up in the church, so I say our because it's like I was shooting in they gym. But, you know, we have our own, like, weird, everybody knows we have our own weird, we drink blood in this grape juice, like, that's weird. But
yeah, a man claimed that God told him to, you know, stab his son in the middle of the desert. We ain't better than this.
And then he was like, nigga, you was really finna do that?
Ugh. Right.
You weird.
Come on, dog. How are we supposed to walk home together now? You acting like that.
You weird. But, yeah, I first heard this theory from when I was super little, like maybe 5 or 6. My mom used to let me just kind of like hang out in our neighborhood. And our neighborhood was like super run down, but like very multicultural. Mm-hmm. And it was just like poor, working class, white, black, and Latino people in Savannah. And I used to hang out with these group of dudes who would just hang out and like drink Natty Light and smoke bad cigarettes and eat sunflower seeds all day. And one's name was Bobby, and he looked like Charles Manson. And another dude's name, I shit you not, his name on the street was Biscuit. And he was this dirty blonde white dude with an eye patch who wore a black wife beater and jean shorts every day.
Jesus. And, well, first of all, let me just say how happy I am that Biscuit was a white dude with an eye patch and not what I immediately presumed, which was a big ass black man. So that's comforting.
Yeah, he was switching up everything. Biscuit outsold everybody. So they hung out with this black dude in the neighborhood named Joe. And Joe one day, like, they would sit and talk about conspiracy stuff. And I was a kid, like, I didn't know what they were talking about, but I would just kind of sit around and listen. And, you know, one day Bobby was like, oh, well, you know, in the year 2012, the magnetic poles of the earth are going to switch and it's going to cause the apocalypse. And then Biscuit was like, oh, well, didn't y'all know that the Illuminati do this and da 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 da? So Joe had to come with his, you know, he had to come with some heat. And he was like, well, both of y'all shut up, because did y'all know that we invented y'all? And it was like a bomb went off inside of my head. I was like, Joe, what?
Joe
didn't really say nothing crazy like that on a regular basis. He would just kind of like, you know, spit sunflower seeds and, you know, but he came with some heat. So I was like, what? And they were like, what are you talking about? And he introduces the story of Yaqub. Which was a Nation of Islam. It's Nation of Islam source material, written by, it was expanded on by Elijah Muhammad, but
the honorable Elijah Muhammad.
And yeah, he just proceeded to tell them like a very, a shortened bridge, drunk country nigga version of that story. And, I was kind of like changed forever.
Wow. You said Joe was a quiet guy. I love that, that Joe was just sort of sitting back, letting these guys talk amongst themselves every day, because secretly he knew, man, I invented y'all. Y'all ain't even real. You're a subset of some shit that I already am. So yeah. Go ahead. Talk your crazy talk.
Yeah, exactly. To even sit there and watch them spit their conspiracy theories, I saw him just, he had this look in his eye like, you stupid motherfuckers. I'm about to hit y'all with some crazy shit.
Oh, you think 2012 is a thing? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, okay, okay.
All right, Biscuit. Okay, yeah. Illuminati, we get... Nah, I got some shit for you. You ain't a real human, Biscuit.
Bitch, you are the second draft of humans. But then, like, you know, the strange effect of it was watching them call his theory crazy when, you know, we're all out, they were all out there saying wild stuff, you know what I mean, like from assassination theories to, you know, this was shortly after Tupac, so they were coming with Tupac theories and stuff. And, you know, the fact that this guy was like, white people were invented by ancient scientists with a giant head, they were like, well, that's just silly.
And now you're being ridiculous, now you're being Joe.
And I was on Joe's side, where I was like, well, why not?
Okay, okay. Now you're getting into something fascinating, because you're saying that when Joe said this, you know, Biscuit and the other gentleman whose name I don't remember,
Bobby.
Biscuit's gonna live in me, Bobby. They immediately are like, "Nah, get the fuck out of here." But that wasn't your instinct.
My first instinct was to be like, "Okay, that's insane." But it wasn't even that I believed in what he was saying. Just like Joe, the way he looked, like I don't even know whose family Joe was in. He was just like an older black dude with a salt and pepper beard, who was just like a Southern dude. And me being from the South, it was like, man, I'm gonna just take his side, because
just he had an elder quality to him.
Yeah. I'm just,
you're like bought in.
Yeah. Whether he's wrong or right, I was just like, man, I gotta stick with this guy, because you talking about the magnetic poles and you talking about the Illuminati, and he's talking about a big head scientist. So, and he's black, so I'm a stand over here. So I kind of stood over next to him.
I mean, and honestly, of the three options, his is the least scary. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're telling me that the world is going to end, one of you is saying that the fucking apocalypse is coming. The other one is saying that, like, there is an organization that decides every move that I make out in the world.
Right.
And this dude's just saying, you know, you ain't exactly real people.
Right.
But otherwise, like, you can still be happy and exist and talk all your shit, and we can enjoy sunflower seeds and natty light.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like that whole, like, burden of proof thing. They were like, you can't prove that that happened. And he was like, well, you can't prove that it didn't happen. And and
that music played.
The music played. Dun, dun, dun. And, you know, Bobby and Biscuit, they're both war vets. Bobby was in Vietnam, and Biscuit had just done he just came from like Desert Storm, but I was too young to remember all that. But they were both war vets, and they were drunk as fuck. So that basic logical fallacy that Joe hit them with, they didn't know how to argue it, which is a very simple thing to, like, it's a super simple thing to argue, but they were just like, damn, he got a point. We can't really not prove.
It's like he did that gotcha nose shit and they couldn't see their nose from their eyes. They're like, I don't know if you got my nose. I can't tell.
So to see someone like bested by that, you know, in hindsight, I was like, damn, man, he won the fight.
Well, that's such a fascinating element to all conspiracy theory, right? Is that it really is just a game of who can prove their point in the moment. Mm-hmm. It isn't like who can ultimately prove their point through research and science and fact-based findings. It's just like, okay, who can make their argument sound enough in this exact moment that you essentially build an acolyte? You build somebody who's then going to follow your logic and spread mm-hmm. that theory to someone else.
Conspiracy theories and discussing them is a lot like roasting, where, you know, getting everyone on your side, it's more important to have everyone on your side and win in the moment, like you're talking. Mm-hmm. It's like, you might say a joke that don't even make sense about somebody. You know what I mean? This nigga built like avocado toast, and then everybody's like, and it's like,
doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything, but you just getting your ass whooped, like, in the moment.
Right. Avocado toast isn't shaped any different than any other toast.
Right. It's this the isn't same like shape. It's
you just added a little qualifier to it, and somehow it's way funnier.
Right.
And so you the best, and this person sucks.
And now people are like, oh, well, what the avocado toast shape nigga gonna say? And then if you say that doesn't make sense, then they're gonna go, oh, this nigga mad now. Oh,
right. Cry. Like, oh, look at you. Avocado toast, wanna eat? Shape motherfucker, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it does have this quality of just like, who can you convince in the moment? And if you can do it effectively, then you are the winner of conspiracy theory or roasting or whatever, you know, sort of like, that's what religion is, sort of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like, who the fuck was listening at the time that the best dude was talking?
Right.
And then somebody decided to write that down.
Who wrote it down, and whose writing survived through history, through different shit getting conquered, through different shit getting burnt down, through natural disasters? You know, in a way, like, any religion that exists still today, it's like the sperm that won kind of dynamic to me, where I'm like, bro, y'all went through all of history and nobody clapped y'all out? Like,
yes,
that's crazy.
Exactly. Because it, you know, even if we're thinking about that anatomically, like, the woman's vagina is literally built with like acids and things to keep sperm from surviving, and yet a sperm regularly, you know, as proof through pregnancy, is able to somehow navigate all that and make a child. Right. That's what religion is. And that's the crazy part in a lot of ways, is as much as, you know, you and I can both agree that that's a wild concept and introduction, mm-hmm. we can also point to a lot of other wild concepts in much more widely accepted religions. Right. And so the difference in the way that it's accepted is really determined by the people in charge more than it is like that this one's so much crazier than that one, if that makes sense.
You know, whether I believe any of this shit or not, which I don't ascribe to any any religion.
You heard it here first, folks.
Everyone's going to be mad. I'm like, who am I going to make mad first with what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a spiritual guy, like, you know, but I do think it's very needed and it's very necessary, and it's fun to dive into mythology and like what makes people attach themselves to mythology so vehemently. And then how does that mythology affect how a culture interacts with the world around them? Cause it's a very real thing, you know?
Right.
So I love just reading creation stories and, you know, the way certain cultures think that the world was built and how it was built and what God gave what to who and what humans were in relation to that, because that's very important. So when I see people online, like especially in researching Yaqub, when you see people online who I'm sure grew up Catholic or Jewish, or maybe they weren't Nation of Islam, they were regular Islam, but uncut kind of. Maybe they were something else. But to see people go,
Islam, no chaser.
No chaser.
I love that.
To see people ridicule it, like right out, like, this is so ridiculous and so, how could anyone ever believe this? And I'm like, but that's what all of us do. All of us, mm-hmm. even if you're not spiritual, you believe in some kind of mythology.
Exactly. I think to your point, that's also, I wish that more people were able to approach these conversations and certainly religion even with that same level of whimsy, mm-hmm. if you will. Do you know what I mean? That
yeah.
like, even if you believe it, which is fine, I'm not here to decide whether or not that's a good or bad thing, but you should be having fun in this. Mm-hmm. Like, some of it is just an allegory.
Right.
So like, let the allegory be fun instead of it being like this permanent fixture in the way that you always approach every conversation. It's absurd.
Right. Absolutely. I think we have to approach it like that, because if we don't, then the future is bleak, because nothing can stop then, say, LeBron James or Batman from becoming the next thing that people right. the next thing that people kill each other for. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't
right.
stop and look at like the fact that like humans are flawed and shouldn't be worshipped, and you know, I would just getting rid of like human deification, because talking about God is such a way bigger conversation. But if we can at least get to the point where it's like, okay, humans are trash, religion mm-hmm. is funny, you're still
there
allowed to believe in it, but it's funny. It's
yeah.
just, and we shouldn't replicate things that have happened like in the past. And the way to do that
exactly.
is in comedy, I think.
To your point, LeBron James is an exceptional athlete, is a human being unlike most human beings on this planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is a motherfucker who doesn't read well.
Yes.
He talks not great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has flaws.
Right.
And so we should be able to celebrate the man for his gifts while simultaneously laughing at a motherfucker who stutters through a statement
yes.
about Black Lives Matter. And so if we can meld those two, we can have an honest reflection of the human being that he is
mm-hmm.
instead of, like you said, deifying him
right.
and creating some dangerous space where, like, my grandkids are going to grow up like making the cross with a basketball or
yeah.
some shit.
Well, I mean,
a holy mark.
Yeah. There's literally nothing in my mind stops me from believing that if LeBron James actually lived 2000 years ago, today we would live in a world where you, before every major event, clap white dust in your hands, and like maybe
yeah.
like boys when they're born, you're not allowed to have a hairline until like you become a man, like, so
right.
they shave your hairline all the way back until you're 18, and then now you're allowed to have it, but you have to put on a headband until you're
18. You gotta put a wig on, and it's not a good wig. You gotta sort of tie it down loosely.
Yeah
exactly.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
LeBron James would have dunked on Jesus.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's 6'8". Jesus was a good 5'3".
Yes.
These motherfuckers weren't going to be able to compete in any sort of physical activities.
Mm-mm.
So, of course, LeBron would have become our new God.
Right.
But that's not the right thing. Let's just be honest and laugh at all of it.
But can we just talk about how funny it would be to have a stained glass portrait of Jesus of Jesus on the cross, but there's a basketball hoop above his head where the Thorn of Crowns is, and it's LeBron dunking into the
look. Jesus is having a bad day already.
My God,
but shit, Hooper's got a hoop. You know what I mean? LeBron see a hoop, he got to do his thing. He dunking on Jesus.
God. Like, he's doing the, like, what was that basketball player back in the day who dunked and, like, put his nuts on the dude's head? And it was, like, the first time that happened in professional basketball.
Yeah, I feel like I know. It's not Larry Johnson, but I feel like it's, like, that energy of, like, a grandmama type
yeah.
disrespect
yeah.
of, like, the people you're playing against.
Yeah.
LeBron's, he'd be an evil counterpart to Jesus.
I'm about to hit up the Photoshop homies and tell them to make that.
This is really important work that we're doing here, and I can't wait to see the product of all of it.
We're pushing things forward.
I think so. By getting Jesus dunked on, we are making the world a better place.
Yep. Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with more Zach Fox and more My Mama Told Me.
Hey.
We are back.
Oh, yeah.
Bronchitis.
We are back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Zach Fox. We're still talking about this wild theory that the white man was created by an ancient black scientist. Mm-hmm. And we're arguing possibly that it isn't as wild as it originally seemed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also have to be careful. And I want to get right into the research because I do think that this is also going to ground a fair amount of this for our listeners who
yes.
may or may not be aware of where all of this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But I, in doing my research, found a bunch of moments where I was legit terrified at the things that I discovered. Like legit, both in terms of this conversation and the fruit of Islam coming to seek retaliation for anything that I was about to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then also finding myself starting to, and I want to be careful when I say this,
yes, you do,
to buy into uh-huh. some of the arguments that were being made from the things that I was reading.
Right. Yes.
So let's jump right in. The Nation of Islam argues in a, I guess it's sort of a sub-scripture, right? Like, because it's scripture, but it's scripture that we know the source from, and he like literally just died recently. So it's a little bit of a
right.
different conversation. But basically the argument is that Yaqub, mm-hmm. who was a supposed scientist, existed 6,600 years ago
mm-hmm.
and created white people on an island basically as an experiment in an effort to create a more perfect being.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yeah. on track for you?
Yeah, to dive a little bit more into it. So Yaqub is an alien being. So there was a ancient Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is believed to be a, by multiple subcultures and religious sects, there's believed to be a civilization or a group of civilizations beneath the Earth that came from other places, or maybe they were already here. And Yaqub was actually, I believe, he's mixed from two of those alien races. And the entire origin of like everyone who lived on the surface of the planet was considered ebonoid or just black. They were just black people.
Right.
So by the time Yaqub was a kid and he was living in the area believed to be Mecca, in Wallace Fard Muhammad's work, he claims that up to 30% of ebonoid people were dissatisfied with how they were living.
So he has this, he starts to build this, and I want to dig into a few things that you're saying, because mm-hmm. the alien part of this is very important in that every description that you read about Yaqub ends with talking about how big his head was.
Yes.
Like nobody, like they don't mention Yaqub in any way
no.
without being like, that nigga had a big ass head.
Big motherfucking
his head. His head was big as fuck.
Yeah.
And they claim that not only was it physically big, but he also was a very arrogant man
mm-hmm.
who, while studying in Mecca and studying under like the teachings of Muhammad, he basically was like, nah, fuck this. I've learned everything I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he starts to talk to this 30%, as you call it,
mm-hmm.
of people who are dissatisfied
or yeah.
not happy with the way things are going.
Yeah. And in his arrogance, you know, Yaqub, the size of his head was a lot of reason for him to be picked on or made fun of in school.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very, very, a seed of hatred for the ebony race. He hated them. And he told his father one day, his father asked him, you know, hey, what are you doing? He said, one day I'm going to create a race of people to conquer you and destroy mm-hmm. you. And his dad was like, nigga, shut up.
Shut your big head ass up.
Big ass, lame ass nigga.
Big head motherfucker.
Which is what a black parent would do if you said something like that to a black parent. They'd be
right.
like, bro, if you don't shut the fuck, get your ass out of here. But Yaqub was serious. He was dead serious.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, he takes, and this is sort of, again, the argument of the scripture, he takes 59,999 black people to a private island where to basically Sandals, Jamaica. He takes them to Sandals, Jamaica, and they start working to now crossbreed and basically do some sort of like cross-pollination of the black species to create a more perfect being, which ultimately leads to white people.
Right? Yeah. Yaqub said that there is a black gene and a brown gene in every black human being. So what his method was to breed out the black gene and get as much of the brown and whittle down to the brown. And the way he would do that was just literally like a lady would have babies and the lighter one would be kept and the black ones would be shipped to another island. I guess I don't want to get into how
they they murdered him.
Yeah, they murdered him. Yeah, they threw him away.
I like that you tried to make this story where it's like, yeah, the dog went to a different farm to be happy. It's
no,
like,
your daddy, no, that your dog's daddy, dead. He is. He's in Chicago, baby. He's your daddy.
Your daddy. He in the music business now. That, he,
big star.
He's working on
big
music.
Star. Big, and, big album.
And once the album drops, you're going to see him again. I swear to God, he'll be back.
They killed all the black babies. They killed the black babies. They would throw them into the ocean. They would kick them. They would do all this crazy stuff. And the crazy part about the story is Yaqub didn't even live to see his work be completed. It was his his assistants and like his team and his agents actually helped complete the process, because he died when he was 152 years old. And by that time, he had only accomplished getting a race of people who were like me and Langston's complexion.
He got some light skinned motherfuckers out there, but they weren't white yet. They weren't the perfect species that he was sort of trying to create. And I think it's important. You landed on something that I think is really important for us to dig further into, because by his argument, he's trying to create these white people, and it ends up being, in the argument of the scripture, a 600-year process.
Yeah.
That it takes 600 years. Yaqub only lives to 152, so he basically is there for, like, almost a fifth of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in this process, there are arguments, because I know that you're sort of referring to Yaqub as sort of like this devilish guy, this evil guy.
Uh-huh.
That's the argument that people are having.
Mm-hmm.
But there are alternative arguments that claim that Yaqub wasn't in fact evil.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't actually intend to create white people. His vision got usurped by lighter skinned and ultimately white people who then created themselves from his practices, if that makes sense.
That does. Yes. That is the two-sided argument of Yaqub was a trickster. You know, his science was called tricknology, which is the fact that that's not a Trick Daddy album.
Dumb.
Already.
He's had a 20-year opportunity to name an album Tricknology.
He had the whole window and he's blown it.
Fuck you, Trick Daddy. If you ain't gonna take advantage of the opportunities later,
somebody will.
Fuck you. Somebody will. You should be ashamed of yourself, Trick Daddy.
Tricknology? Come on, man.
Come on, bro. That was it.
There's different takes on it. Some people are like, he used tricknology to manipulate and da-da-da-da, which he had to. He had to use tricknology to manipulate 60,000 black people into letting him, you know, use them for a selective breeding project, which he called grafting. But he would have to use some sort of lying or trickery.
Yes. Okay, so here's where the trickery started to get to me. And this is where I think I started to feel not only uncomfortable, but also terribly excited in a way that I've never experienced before.
Yeah.
I started reading some information that argues that Europeans today, as we understand them, whiteness, as we recognize it, actually is only about 8,000 years old. That Europeans of old, old Earth are, in fact, unrecognizable compared to their white counterparts of today.
Talking about anthropological evidence of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. This isn't coming from Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable. Muhammad. this is coming from actual scientific based research that says that basically this is a very recent development, including like blue eyes, which is a genetic mutation that developed somewhere in the range of 6,000 to 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where it aligns is that the Nation of Islam argues that Yaqub existed 6,600 years ago.
Yep.
So just mathematically, some of that shit is mathing up. You know what I mean?
Like he's in the window. He's in the window. He is in the window. Yeah. Yeah.
And the even scarier part is there aren't a lot of clear explanations other than migration as to why these very formal changes started to happen. Now, obviously, you could argue that migration is a major part of it because like-minded people are moving in a certain direction and then they're mushing into each other and creating offspring that basically replicate and form whiteness as we recognize it. But there's also a bunch of, you know, if you want to just make this a little more magical, there's a bunch of logic to like somebody telling them to do that and encouraging it.
Yeah, which is, you know, the part of Yaqub's story that jumps off when he is dead and they've completed after 600 years his experiment is, you know, they have this new race of people that were white and they went to Mecca. So there's this new race of people and they went to Mecca. There's a bunch of them, but they caused a bunch of trouble when they got there. They was like flipping people's tables over, you know, using the Brita filter, not filling it back up.
They're like asking the waitress to split the check, even though they like ain't done the math yet. It's exhausting.
Like, oh my God. Now she's got to go like write it down on the back of the receipt. So the people of Mecca were like, yo, y'all got to go, and they took them to Europe. They escorted them quietly out of Mecca into Europe, and they guarded them around Europe with swords. And they were like, yo, like, just chill here for like a couple hundred years and figure out your life. So, you know, these people are now trapped in Europe, and they're just figuring it out. They're like eating raw meat and, you know, being naked. And eventually Moses, our nigga Moses, our guy.
I love him.
Moses ran into him and he was like, all right, I'm about to teach y'all how to live. You know what I mean? And this lines up with, you know, maybe this is the story of Moses leading people out of Exodus or whatever. I don't know what he was trying to say here. But basically, Moses was like, I'm going to try to teach y'all how to be civilized, how to wear clothes, how to like, how to play PS4 and like be nice.
The fork goes on the right. The, the spoon goes on the left. He's teaching them some shit that they need to know.
Right. And Moses became so upset with them because they wouldn't chill out that he eventually he blew up 300 of them with dynamite.
God damn.
With dynamite. Jesus Christ. That's what's in the text. Dynamite. That he used dynamite in 6,600 years ago. He used dynamite to blow up 300 white people.
So this actually gets into another very fascinating element of this is that, number one, dynamite existed apparently.
Number two, amazing crossover. That's better than like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the Power Ranger episode. Having Moses come in on this story. That's like, oh, shit.
It's like,
it's like when a celebrity shows up on a sitcom and they're like, oh, shit, it's Tupac on In Living Color. Like,
right. Yo. Oh, shit. Prince is on New Girl. This is wild. Whoa. I love this.
That's how I felt when I got to that part.
Well, so even more of a crossover that maybe you're aware of, but there's arguments that claim that basically Yaqub, which is a direct translation to Jacob in Christianity, right, is in fact the Jacob of the Bible, right? And so like there basically are arguments that say that there's one text in particular that people point to where it references Jacob grafting a flock of sheep.
Or sheep or goats,
sheep that he's like basically making a purer sheep by making them, you know, crossbreed and whatever, make doing the thing. So it's again this the fact that this person who this big-headed man who otherwise seems like just an alien that a dude named the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made up is it now feels like okay, well, maybe he did exist. Maybe he wasn't all y'all said he was, but he wasn't a completely fictional character, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So that, and that's another interesting part to get into is because a lot of the reason why it would be easy to say, yeah, I could see that is because we all know, you know, with minimal research into the Bible, there's multiple versions of the Bible. There's books of the Bible that have been removed, the Apocrypha or the Dead Sea Scrolls. We know how much just scripture that still exists today has been manipulated to justify slavery or imperialism or homophobia or a number of things. So when you see like, okay, Jacob was in the Bible, it says he was grafting sheep, but maybe it was just, you know, maybe some nigga was going through the Bible like a few hundred years ago and was like, ooh, let me just change that to, let me change that part to
niggas,
sheep.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I'm gonna cross that out.
Cross and, that one out. And I'm gonna put sheep.
Let's go with sheep.
Yeah.
Nobody. Hey, does anybody care if we do some weird shit to some sheep? No? Okay, yeah.
Nope.
We're going to go with sheep for 800, Alex.
So, yeah, there's such distrust in the Bible that, yeah, like, sorry, like, you know, people are going to be like, yeah, I'll take whatever alternative to that shit.
Yes, and so this really takes me to the ultimate discovery that I felt like I was having in this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, is I do think that a lot of this shit is silly and crazy, and, you know, religion is grounded in a lot of funny things, like we were saying, but it does ultimately come down to whether or not you agree with white people's science or Nation of Islam science.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, that's all this is.
That's
it's
all
like,
it is.
Who did you buy into most? Did you buy into, like, the white argument that white people existed almost as soon as black people did? Black people just came a little bit before? Or do you argue, you know, that maybe this genetic mutation was intentional by a dude named Yaku
with
a big ass head?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, listen, the burden of anthropological evidence of the origin of whiteness is not on anyone except for white people. Like, and I love, and I'm talking about, like, I love history. I love reading about, like, everything from the Fertile Crescent till now. Like, I love it. But in everything you read, there's still a lot of holes in, you know, the origin of a lot of things. Where we come from, just as humans, it's still argued about. Where hominids really came from, where we, there's aquatic ape theory that says that we were swimming upright. There's the theory that we were standing up in these large savannas in Africa and we had to stand up to hunt. There's all these different theories, but nobody really knows, and nobody definitely knows where whiteness actually comes from. They could say it's a mutation with vitamin D or all these things, but saying that for such a large region of Earth, you know what I mean? And we
can't account for every year, right?
Like, right.
We can't account for, the general argument, the soup that we crawl out of, we eventually become like these people that stand upright as we crawl further and further from the origin source, right? That all fine. But you're not telling me every step of that crawl.
Right.
You're just telling me that a thing crawls and then it eventually stands up and then it eventually loses some of its hair and it becomes man. But because you can't account for all of those steps, it's wild for you to be like, nope, that's the only possibility. There's nothing else in between this.
Which is a big problem with anthropology. And it has been still is a huge problem today that, you know, during the 1960s, we were just coming to a point. There was a big, I read about this, it was an anthropology, like, meetup. I don't know what they do there, if they, like, trade bones and shit. I don't know what niggas do at an anthropology meetup. Niggas.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
you got
shit.
Turtle bones? Let me holler at those.
Let me get some of them shit, boy. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if they're tasting them. I don't know what
they're tasting them.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's no reason to taste them.
I don't know. Maybe they want to taste them. Anthropology. I imagine if I was an anthropologist, when I dig up some bones or some artifacts, I would dip my pinky in it and taste it and go, oh, yeah, nigga, that's history.
That's that good history.
But a person at this anthropology, whatever, you know, kind of talked about the Fertile Crescent and basically the misinformation that, you know, stems from, you know, a lot of different things. But there's this narrative we're caught up in that human beings were hunter gatherers. We were all hunter gatherers. And then one day we all got a notification to stop doing that and move on to agriculture and be civilized human beings and make an alphabet and, you know, and start, you know, figuring out how to get to plumbing.
is like, but again, that's such, there's so much space in between that. There's, it's like, so okay, we were hunter gatherers and then suddenly we started beatboxing. And it's like,
No.
Something had to happen in between.
Right.
A little bit of this shit.
The truth is that there were multiple massive variation of groups. And at some point, you know, different species of human being, from Neanderthal to Cro-Magnon to all these different, we come from a very wide range of hominid or bipedal apes. You know, it wasn't just one bipedal ape. It was a bunch of them running around with different shaped skulls. And that sounds really scary. But some of them were hunter-gatherers, and some of them did, because of the way they had to interact with their environment, they did have to sit down and do agriculture, do different things. But the trick that nobody wants to talk about is that, like, that there was kind of a need for one group to be dominating over everyone, because they need the most space, they need the most territory, they have a dogma attached, they have a mythology attached.
And so that ultimately, I think, takes me to what I felt like I got out of this, is that I understand, I fully recognize the absurdity in all of these arguments, right? Of like adding this sort of like weird, you're putting cartoon characters in the middle of science. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's, I think, undeniable in all of this is that essentially it's white people not inventing themselves physically, but inventing themselves as an identity. Mm-hmm. It's white people basically, we are genetically identical,
right?
But based on most science, right? There is no difference between white and black people.
Mm-mm.
And so it's white people figuring out a way to plant themselves as a more dominant race in the way that we understand the world.
Right.
So no, I don't believe that like some dude crossbred you and created you from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that you all want to be elevated as a separate being.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the arguments that you are somehow special, it's 100% a white fabrication.
Right.
It's absolutely something y'all just made up.
Right. Right. And it's like, it would be completely irresponsible for anybody to say that domination or exploitation or extraction or conquest is an exclusively white thing. It's not. It's an exclusively human thing. We all do it, from Genghis Khan to, our guy Mansa Musa, the one of the richest black people in the world. You had to get that wealth. Right. You have to conquer. Somebody has to lay down. Somebody has to be exploited. We just had different ways of going about it. But yeah, I think that is a very important thing to know, is that like even predating the actual invention of the term white being, you know, on like stamped, like you come into Ellis Island and then stamping white, there was a scientist, I think he was German. He's the guy who basically coined the term of Caucasian, because there were people in, I forget what area they were in Europe, but he basically was like, damn, these are like, this is top shelf, like the Patrice O'Neal joke, top shelf white woman right here. God damn.
I like the way her head is shaped. This bitch got something going on.
But he saw that and was like, and even he was like, yeah, I think we're all the same, but he still was like, they are the best. This is the peak. And his influence was, you know, able to move into Aryan science and stuff like that. But
and that was the thing, that even the people that he first identified as Caucasian, he acknowledged weren't even all white.
Like
there were a fair amount of darker skinned people in that mix.
Yes.
It just was advantageous to be like, okay, I can eliminate a bunch of people who don't fall into this category, and then I can hand select the more agreeable or sort of likable ones of all of them.
What's scarier than, you know, the idea of a fantasy story like Yakub or anything, or aliens, what's actually scarier and more intimidating and harder to fix is where that idea of white genes being, you know, the top, like, you know what I mean? Like that idea going so far back into history, is that's the thing that we have to sit down and indict and question and completely
Well, that's the greatest roaster of all time. Like, the dude who was like, y'all niggas are ugly and you're broke and you ain't shit. And everybody was like, damn, this motherfucker's funny. I don't know how he got us. but I'm going to spread this like wildfire for centuries. Yeah. Generations will believe exactly how funny this dude is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's that's wilder than Yaku to me. Is that like
way wilder?
Some like just one dude was just like, yeah, this one. I like this one. This is the best. And everybody was like, okay, cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, he's right. All right. We're going to take one more break and we'll be back with more Zach Fox and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. We're back here with more Zach Fox, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about Yakub and his Tricknology and how Trick Daddy really should be ashamed of himself. Trina
Tricknology,
was right.
Changing biology. I gotta go
if
write
Trina
a whole
was
rap
right about anything. You should. I mean, you're right. You got the skills for this.
Tricknology, changing biology. Take the white gene, I'm gonna put it inside of me.
If my baby come out black, I'ma kill it. He gives up on the rap. He just starts saying evil shit.
Right, yeah.
Kill that black baby.
They're like, Yakub, that doesn't rhyme. He goes, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Shut the fuck up. That's science, motherfucker.
Technology.
All right, I want to play a game. We're going to play a game. And this game I've titled Facebook, You Acting Up.
This is what Facebook Live is for.
Hold up. Shut the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah. Facebook, you acting up. I'm going to read you some quotes that were posted recently on my Facebook feed, and I just want us to unpack them together. These are our supposed conspiracy theories, arguments that people are making about the potential dangers that are happening in the world. So the first one, it goes like this. The vagina produces a... Coming in hot. The vagina produces a thick chemical fluid known as copulin that has actual mind control effects on a male's brain. If a man is exposed to a woman's copulence, over time she will be able to change, remove, or insert memories. Tell the male what he sees, hears, feels, smells, tastes. Insert subconscious thoughts that will surface as his own ideas or behaviors later. Plant trigger words or actions that can cause thoughts, actions, or sensations in the male at later dates. The melanated woman copulins have multifunctions and are capable of doing other things. That's where it ends.
That's the end.
That's the end. They can do other things. It's like a cliffhanger for you right at the end.
I'm trying to figure out which part of that is a conspiracy.
Brother, all I'm hearing is facts.
Because, listen. Copulin? How do you spell that? C-O-P-U-L-I-N?
C-O-P-U-L-I-N.
Let me write that shit down.
I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly. I did look it up. I looked up copulins, and apparently they are a real thing. It's basically like a word referring to pheromones.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of information about them inserting memories into your mind that didn't exist before.
I buy it. I 100% buy it.
You're bought in.
I'm bought in.
Tell me more.
Well, there's a spiritual like theory that the male, like male sperm, can also do that to women. That like, you know, that nut has like a bunch of stuff encoded into it, like, you know.
That matrix nut, that nut with all them ones and
yeah,
zeros.
Yeah, ones and zeros. Yeah, I feel like we're all a bunch of ones and zeros. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I buy it that copulin could probably make you do some weird things. There's crazy stuff like that. And, you know, I'm going to say this like it's fact, but it might not be. But that
hold on. Wait a minute. This is exciting. If you're going to say it like it's fact,
I'm going to say it like it's fact. Cats.
Okay.
There is a parasite mm-hmm. that lives in cat poop that it's also airborne. It's a parasite. And if it gets inside of you, it can actually influence you to want to get more cats.
Whoa. So it's like cat copulin.
It's cat copulin. Cats,
that they're creating this parasite so that more cats come into your home.
Which explains cat ladies. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Call motherfucking bars, yeah. Nigga. Fucking you know nothing about that.
God damn. That blows my mind.
Right.
The possibility. Because okay, this gets into an interesting thing.
If cats
thing
got
because,
copulin, then women definitely have copulin.
My
cats can't
my
even
mom,
work. They definitely, so yeah, I buy it.
When I was a kid, my mom had 9 cats. And I always thought it was because our main cat, Jordan, just was a busybody. You know what I mean? She was out in them streets.
Right.
But now I'm starting to think that maybe Jordan was intentionally planting copulin in her shit to make it so that these other cats eventually showed up.
Yep. Yep. Look it up. Look it up. Cat. Look it up. Cat poop parasite. It's that cat copulin.
I love this. Okay. I'm going to read you one more. Of Facebook you acting up examples. This one comes from a dear friend, Tehran. Do you know Tehran?
Yeah,
he's a hilarious comedian who wears a robe everywhere, and that's a conspiracy theory in and of itself.
Yeah,
but recently he posted, I'm not a fan of conspiracy theories, but I must say the fact that rich ass neighborhoods always have the worst cell phone reception while the hood always has the greatest service gives some credence to cell towers and 5G causing cancer and death. The Hills, no service. Bel Air, shit service. Malibu, forget about it. 90210, hell no. Versus Compton, perfect service.
See, this fits perfectly into my horror movie that I'm writing. The Hills have Wi-Fis.
It's just a bunch of people with radiated faces but dope ass cell phones.
Right.
I love that.
Okay, so he's saying, okay. 5G might be real because the hood has very good cell phone service. And why would they give the hood amazing cell phone service unless there was a catch?
Unless they're trying to murder black and brown people by giving them like radiation directly to the head.
Right.
Which, okay, crazy. Let's follow this train for a second.
Yeah.
I think there is legitimacy to cell phones being bad for us, right? That's not a new theory. That's been proven that there is radiation in cell phones. They're not good for you. You probably shouldn't just be slamming them next to your face as often as we do.
As often as I do, yeah.
Certainly. Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Please stop doing that.
I'm trying.
But I don't know that there's enough evidence to support the idea that Inglewood is just getting that much more cell reception than Bel Air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, is it that much better? Like, I want to send a text from both places and see, like, or just like, I don't know, like, is it, I don't know. Do all hoods have really good cell phone service like that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's a pretty sweeping statement.
If I go to the west side of Chicago, am I truly about to get better cell service than I do in fucking Bucktown or downtown? Like, how do you prove that the cell service is not comparable in all these places other than just being a man with opinions and a robe?
Right. Well, yeah, you can't say anything to a man with the robe because he's just going to say, you've bought the white man's supply. you drank the Kool-Aid and that's why you're going to get your face melted off.
Right. Yeah, look at you. You sell out. You over here believing the white man's words, the white man's Wi-Fi. You can't even get on the black internet because you over here bought in on the white man's Wi-Fi. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm wrong.
I guess I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm excited to see how the 5G thing plays out. Like, I don't know. Any talk about, like, humans becoming mutants or, you know, getting any kind of, like, special ability or anything, I'm 100% there. I don't care about the cost of life or comfortability.
Sure.
I just want to see somebody with a big-ass head, like Jakku.
I'm trying to see these mutants, baby.
Right.
I love that.
A mutant, mutant fill in the blank is gonna be fun. Mutant strip club, cool. I'm there.
Yes.
Where they at?
There
okay.
we go.
Right. This is Diamond, and she got 5 asses. Y'all give it up for Diamond with the 5 asses.
And guess what? All those asses don't do the same thing. Some of them got some different powers you ain't never even heard of. Like, okay, I gotta see Diamond.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me look at that Diamond. Well, I think we did it. I think we nailed this episode.
I don't know
this
what we did, but we did it.
I don't know. I mean, I would suggest that you change your address, and we're gonna have to rethink some of our choices. But this was an exciting time. Can you tell all the people, Zach, where they can find you and what to look out for and all that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Zach Fox for now. I'm on Instagram at Zach Fox for now. Be on the lookout for some projects that I can't talk about until they are ready to be spoken about. But I be on Twitch sometimes too, and I got music coming out.
That's dope. And one of my absolute favorite people to follow, so funny in everything he does. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, for Zach Fox.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. And this has been My Mama Told Me. You can follow me at Langston Kerman on all of them platforms. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't got nothing better to do.
Mm-mm.
And
but I will be getting a Yakub tattoo.
I want the one that you had with the full body profile. I want the whole shebang.
Yeah. Oh, you talking about the one that looks like a diagram? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm getting
where it's
that.
Like that Da Vinci diagram of Yakub, but just a big ass head.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, Zach, what's your tramp stamp? I'll be like, hold on, let me tell you about it.
Sit down, brother. Sit down. I gotta explain some stuff.
Long story.
All right. This has been another episode of My Mama Told Me. Bye.
Bye, y'all.